Morning, everyone. Today's daf is Baba Kama, daf Ayin Aleph. We are holding at the top of daf Ayin Aleph, Amud Aleph, at Gana B'Tavach B'Yom HaKippurim. The Gemara is going to continue on discussing various cases of Tficha Mechira, whether you should be obligated to pay the payments of Arba V'Chamisha or not. It's going to go into a discussion of Maisa Shabbos, which is a big figure that comes up throughout Shas, and how that relates to the cases of Tficha Mechira. And the Gemara is basically going to continue on with those types of discussions onto Amud Beis as well. So let's begin with the lines quoting from the Mishnah, Gana V'Tavach B'Yom HaKippurim. The Mishnah had said, and daf, Ayin Amud Aleph, that if you're Gana V'Tavach B'Yom HaKippurim, if you steal an animal and you shecht it on Yom Kippur, that you would be chayav to pay Arba V'Chamisha. So ask the Gemara, Amri Amai, why is it that you have to pay Arba V'Chamisha if you shecht an animal on Yom Kippur? Nihi D'Katala Leka. Granted, you're not going to be obligated to die for the fact that you did a malacha on Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur, even if you have Edom and Asra, even if you were warned against doing the malacha, and you have witnesses who can testify that you did the malacha, you'd only be obligated in Isser Kares, but you wouldn't be obligated to die. So even though there's no death penalty for shechting on Yom Kippur, Malkus Mihaika, the Kaimalan de Eino Loke Mashalim, you would still be whipped for violating the Isser of doing malacha on Yom Kippur. And we have a principle that you can't receive lashes and also pay. That's also considered kam lebi b'dramaneh. We assume that lashes are worse than monetary payment. So the fact that you get lashes for something should...
Well, some people.
Some people. Good. So the Gemara answers, Amri hamani Rabbi Meir hi da amar loke umashali. Rabbi Meir answers that really you could be loke umashali. You could get lashes and you could also pay. Presumably that's not because he doesn't hold kam lebi b'dramaneh, but at least in the application of loke umashali, when you have malchus and money, he thinks that you could get both malchus and have to pay, and that's why you'd be obligated to pay arba v'chamisha if you steal an animal and shecht it on Yom Kippur, even though you're obligated to get lashes because you could get both lashes and have to pay. So ask the Gemara, I Rabbi Meir afilu tavach b'shabes. If Rabbi Meir is going to be the author of the Mishnah, who says that Gana V'Tavach B'Yom HaKippurim, you could have to pay Arba V'Chamisha, because he holds Loka M'Shalim Islay, then he should also say that if you shecht an animal on Shabbos, you should be chayav to pay Arba V'Chamisha. But remember what the Mishnah had taught us. The Mishnah, as we spoke about yesterday at length, the Mishnah only taught us that if you steal an animal and sell it on Shabbos, you're going to be chayav to pay Arba V'Chamisha, because as we pointed out, selling is not an Isser D'Oraisa on Shabbos. However, if you shecht it, the Mishnah seemed to imply that you wouldn't have to pay Arba V'Chamisha on Shabbos. And according to Rabbi Meir, we should say that if you shecht the animal on Shabbos, you should also have to pay Arba V'Chamisha. Why? Because even though shechting the animal on Shabbos would incur a chiyuv misa, we assume Rabbi Meir, if he holds loke u'mashalim, that you could both get lashes and have to pay, he would also hold that mesu mashalim. Seemingly, the Gemara is saying he wouldn't hold of kamlei b'dramaneh, and you could even get the death penalty and have to pay. So the Mishnah also should have taught that tavach b'shabbes would pay arba v'chamisha. So this is where the Gemara interjects and says b'chitema loke u'mashalim islay mesu mashalim leislay. And if you want to answer that question and say that Rabbi Meir really holds loke u'mashalim, you could get lashes and also have to pay, but you would not be obligated the death penalty and be chayav to pay. And that's why the Mishnah doesn't say Tavach B'Shabbos, that if you shecht the animal on Shabbos, you'd have to pay Arba V'Chamisha, because it would be commonly B'Dramineh in the classic sense, you're getting the death penalty and you wouldn't have to pay. So ask Gemara, is that really true that he doesn't hold of Mesa Mishalim? Velo? Does he not hold of Mesa Mishalim? V'atanya, Ganav V'Tavach B'Shabbos, Ganav V'Tavach La'Avodah Zarah, Ganav Shor Haniska, Utvacho, Mishalim Arba V'Chamisha, Divrei Rabbi Meir. We have an explicit brisa which lists three cases. Gana v'tavach b'shabbos, if you steal an animal and shecht it on Shabbos, or you steal an animal and you shecht it l'avodah zarah, or you steal an animal which is a shor haniskal, it's asr b'hanah, and you shecht it, you would have to pay arba v'chamisha in all of these cases, v'chachamim potrin, and the chachamim would exempt you from paying arba v'chamisha in these cases. But what do we see clearly from this brisa? Rabbi Meir holds that gana v'tavach b'shabbos is chayv to pay arba v'chamisha. So that seems to indicate that Rabbi Meir holds Mesu Mashalim Islay. He does hold that you could both receive the death penalty and be obligated to pay. So if we're really establishing the Mishnah as being like Rabbi Meir, because he holds Lokeh Mashalim, that explains the case of Gana V'Tavach B'Yom HaKippurim, the Mishnah also should have taught Gana V'Tavach B'Shabbos that you'd be obligated to pay Arba V'Chamisha. So answers the Gemara, Amri Bar Mina Dahi. You can't bring me a Raya from that Braisa. Why not? To Ha'idmar Allah, because it was said about that Braisa, a long list of Chachamim here, Amr bi Yaakov, Amr bi Yochanan, Amr bi Yirmiyah, Amr bi Shimon ben Lakish. So Rabbi Yaakov says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, alternatively, maybe it's Rabbi Yirmiya who says in the name of Reish Lakish, that Rabbi Avin, Rabbi Ilah, the Chol Chavrusa, Mishmeid, Rabbi Yochanan Amri, Rabbi Avin, Rabbi Ilah, and the entire Beis Medrash essentially reported in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that case, the case where Rabbi Meir says, Gana v'tavach b'Shabbos, that if you steal an animal and shecht it on Shabbos, you'd be obligated to pay a rabbi chamisha, is b'toveach al yedei acher, is a case where you have a shliach who's the one who is shechting the animal for you.
You have to steal and shecht on Shabbos. What if you steal on Friday and you shecht on Shabbos?
Yeah, so I don't think you necessarily have to steal on Shabbos. I think you could have stolen even before. But certainly if you stole and shechted on Shabbos, that would also qualify. But so the Gemara answers that it's betoveach al yedei acher. The case where Rabbi Meir says you're obligated to pay arba chamisha if you shecht the animal on Shabbos, when I say and you steal, I just mean you have to have stolen it first. But if you shecht it on Shabbos, the only reason you're obligated to pay arba chamisha is because that's a case where the person doing the shechita is not you yourself, it's actually a shliach, an agent that you appointed to do it, or somebody else who's doing it for you. In such a case, if somebody else is doing the shechita, then you're not going to be chayav misa on Shabbos, he's going to be chayav misa on Shabbos. So he's going to be chayav misa on Shabbos, you're going to be obligated for shechting the animal, and thus you'll be chayav to pay arba chamisha, because you won't have kam lebi d'ramine. So you can't bring me a raya from this brisa that Rabbi Meir holds mesu mashal, so you could both receive the death penalty and be obligated to pay, because that's an exceptional case where you're not really chayav the death penalty since somebody else did the shechita and it was not you yourself. But ask the Gemara, the Kasha, I know you guys are all waiting to ask, is it possible that this person is going to be doing the shechita, meaning this agent, this other person who's doing the shechita, is sinning on your behalf, he's shechting, and yet you're going to be chayav, you're going to be considered the one who shechted the animal? How could that be? Meaning, think about what we're saying. We're saying somebody else shechted the animal, and that's why he's chayav the death penalty on Shabbos. But you're chayav for Uzbacho Umacharo. You're chayav the payment of four times or five times for having shechted the animal. But that doesn't make any sense. We just said the other guy was the one who shechted the animal. So how could it be that through his shechting, you're obligated to pay arba v'chamisha? We have a principle, this is what the Gemara is alluding to, that ain shliach l'dvar aveira, that there's, you can't appoint a shliach to do something problematic for you. That if I send somebody to do an aveira, it's not considered as if I did the aveira, it's considered as if he did the aveira. Generally, we would assume if I send somebody to do something, then shlucho shel adam kamo. So anything that he does, it's as if I did it myself. But if I sent him to do an aveira, it's not considered as if I did it myself, it's considered as if he did it.
Even if he's unaware.
So there's a question, meaning, I guess what Rich is alluding to, is that there are two potential reasons why Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira is true. The main reason that we generally think of is it's based on a svara, it's based on a logical understanding, that divrei harav v'divrei hatalmid divrei mishomim. A person could say, when you have a commandment of the master and you have a commandment of the student, of the disciple, whose commandment should you listen to? Obviously, you should listen to the commandment of the master. So how does that relate to Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira? If I send somebody to do an Aveira, I'm telling them to do something problematic. But Hashem obviously told them not to do it because it's an Aveira. So if a person wants to obligate me for an Aveira that I sent him to do, I would just look at that person and say, Divrei Harav, Divrei HaTalmid, Divrei Mishomim. Why would you have listened to me? You should have listened to God. I sent you to do something, Aser. God clearly told you not to. Listen to God and don't do it. So, Divrei Harav, Divrei HaTalmid, Divrei Mishomim. He never should have done the action in the first place. And therefore, I'm not going to be obligated. Now, what Richard is saying is, if he's not aware, then that svara doesn't make sense. How could we say Divrei Harav, Divrei HaTalmid, Divrei Mishomim if he wasn't aware of what it was that he was doing? Let's say he was shogeg, he didn't understand that he was doing an aveira. So how could you say Divrei Harav, Divrei HaTalmid, Divrei Mishomim? A potential other source for the concept of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, this is all discussion in Maseches Kiddushin, Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis, Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, is that it would be derived from Shchutei Chutz. And there we would have explicit psukim from which the principle of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira emerges. And then it may not matter if the person's aware or not, because it doesn't rely on any sort of svara. It's just always going to be true that if he does an aveira that somebody else sent him to do, he's responsible, the person who sent him is not. So that's a whole discussion. A bunch of different nafkaminas which may emerge, a bunch of practical differences which may emerge, depending on what the source for Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira is, if it's from Divrei Harav, Divrei HaTalmid, Divrei Mishomim, or if it's from Shchutei Chutz.
So this is the question, Divrei Harav, Divrei HaTalmid, who told Avram to bring Yitzchak as a korban?
To bring Yitzchak as a korban?
Yeah.
Hashem.
Who told him not to?
The Malach.
Who should Avram have listened to?
Interesting.
But the Malach is a shliach of Hashem. Shluch is Adam K'moisa. And Adam, Hashem is Adam Elyon.
Ah. So maybe the whole Svara doesn't imply. I hear. But if it's from, yeah, interesting. So that's Gemara's question here. If we're establishing the case, in order to understand why you'd be obligated to pay a bar b'chamisha on Shabbos, is that somebody else was doing the shechita for you, then how could you be obligated to pay a bar b'chamisha? How is it at all considered as if you shechted the animal, such that you'd have to pay? Hare ein shlechet v'arbe.
Is that a short machshava?
No, it's, I heard it from somebody else. So he says that that's not the pshat. If you go through the psukim, he says that the malach physically prevented Avram from doing the shechita. And he explained
so why. It's an anus.
But he says it wasn't Avram was prepared to do it, was trying to do it. The malach was physically preventing him.
Okay.
So it wasn't a question of who to listen to. He was physically...
no choice.
So he's... So the guy told me tries to bring the raya from Sukkim, so it's, I mean, you got to read into it. But the question is a good question.
Yeah, interesting. So answers the Gemara, Amar Rava.
He may have prevented him, he may have been holding him back at the time, but after the Malach left, didn't the command to Shech Yitzchak?
He did a force field around Yitzchak.
Amar Rava, Shaini Hacha, the Amar Kra, Utfacho, Omechara. Ma Mechira, Ayide Acher, Aft Ficha, Ayide Acher. Says Rava, we're going to have three answers for why the case of Tficha Omechira is different. That generally, we would assume, Ein Shliach Advar Aver, you can't appoint somebody to do an Aver for you. It's not considered as if you did it. But Utfacho Omechira is an exception to that rule. Why is that? Because over here, by Tficha Omechira, the Pasuk says, Utfacho, Omechara, that you either shechted the animal or you sold it. And we darshan from that, that ma mechira ayadei acher, just like a sale has to involve another party. Why does a sale have to involve another party? Because you have to be selling it to somebody. So you need a buyer, you need somebody else to whom you're going to be selling. Af tvicha ayadei acher, so too, shechita, when you do tvicha, which is compared to mechira, it can be done even ayadei acher. So even if you appoint a shliach to do the tvicha for you, and generally we would say, ein shliach dvar avera, Tvicha Mechira is different. The iser of shechting the animal and the obligation to pay does revert back to the person who sent the shliach, not to the shliach. That's the first answer as to why Tvicha Mechira is exceptional in this regard. Ve'er tana o the rabbo says ha-shliach. Darshans that the extra word o, utvacho, o mecharo, comes to tell us that also includes a shliach, and therefore, even if a shliach does the tvicha, you could still be obligated. Tosos just points out, I think we had seen earlier, there was a mandamar, that you need o to be mechalik. You need the word o to differentiate, that you don't have to do both tvicha and mechira, you just need to do either tvicha or mechira. So according to that mandamar, you wouldn't be able to learn shliach from the word o, you'd have to learn it from one of the other sources. The last makor, the vechizkiya tana tachas lerabos es ha-shliach. That the pasuk uses the word tachas, you have to pay chamisha bakar tachas ashor about some tachas aseh. So the word tachas is extra. It's coming to include a shliach. So three reasons why ein shliach advar avera wouldn't apply by tficha and mechira. So that's why when somebody else shechs it, he's going to be obligated to die on Shabbos. You're going to be obligated to pay. It's not a violation of ein shliach advar avera because this is an exception, and it's not a violation of kamei b'derabim minei because here you're not obligated to die. Now maskif la marzutra. Marzutra asks another kasha, which is similar but different. Mi'ika midi de ilu avid ihu lo mechayev, the avid shliach u mechayev. Is there anything, seemingly in all of Torah, could we ever have a case where if you did something yourself, you wouldn't be chayev, and if the shliach does it for you, you're chayev? So this is...
There is such a case.
What's the case?
Mi'ila.
So Mi'ila is also an exception to...
Exception to shliach
dvar avera. Right. But let's just clarify what the Gemara is saying here. What the Gemara is saying is, how could it be that if you had shechted the animal yourself, you'd be putter from Arba v'chamisha. Why? Because you'd be chayav misa for violating malacha on Shabbos. But yet your shliach does the shechita for you. And now the shechita refers back to you. You're still technically obligated for the shechita, at least as far as the monetary payment, because this is an exception to Ein Shliach Advar Avera. And you're also chayav to pay the Arba v'chamisha because you don't have kamla b'derabim minei. Since you're not obligated to die, your shliach is obligated to die because he's the one who did the Isser Shechita on Shabbos. So how could it be that had you done the Shechita, you'd be pater from Arba v'chamisha because you'd be obligated to pay? And if your shliach does the Shechita, all of a sudden you're obligated to pay. Sorry, you'd be obligated to the death penalty. All of a sudden your shliach does the Shechita and now you are obligated to pay. How could that be? So answers the Gemara, Amar le Ravashi, Hatam lav mishum de lo mechayev hu, ela de kam le bidirabah minei. When you do the shechita on Shabbos, it's not right, it's not correct, it's not true that you're not obligated to pay abba l'chamisha. It's just that kam le bidirabah minei. Meaning, how do I look at kam le bidirabah minei? When you shech the animal on Shabbos, I really look at it as there being two obligations. There's an obligation to die because you violated Shabbos, and there's an obligation to pay abba l'chamisha. So that which we exempt you from abba l'chamisha is not because you're not chayev, it's just because kam le bidirabah minei. So since if you had done the shechita on Shabbos, technically you would have been chayev to pay abba l'chamisha. It's just that we would exempt you. And thus, when your shliach does the shechita for you, it's not a violation of this principle. How could it be that if you do it, you're pater, if your shliach does it, you're chayev? Because really, if you had done it yourself, you would have been chayev as well. It's just that we would exempt you because of kam le bidirabah minei. So then ask the Gemara, ve'i b'toveach ha'yedei acher, my time of the Rabbanan. We just established this whole brisa as a case where you're shechting it al yedei acher. Somebody else is shechting for you on Shabbos. He's chayiv to die, and you're not. And that's why you're obligated to pay abba l'chamisha. So if that's true, why do the my time of the Rabbanan depatri? Why do the chachamim in this brisa say you're pater? You don't have to pay abba l'chamisha. Seemingly you should be because you're not chayiv to die. You didn't violate Shabbos. So answers the Gemara, Amri man chachamim Rabbi Shimon. De amar shechita she'en ruya lo shma shechita. Who are these chachamim who say that you're pater? Those chachamim are Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, we saw this yesterday, holds that a shechita she'en ruya, a shechita which is not kosher, which is not physically, not ready to eat, not something that you can eat, is not considered a shechita. So if you do a shechita in any of these cases, either you do it on Shabbos, or you do it l'avodah zarah, or you shech the shor niskal, in none of these cases can you eat the animal. It's thus not a shechita haru'uya, and that's why you're not obligated to pay abba l'chamisha, because we can't consider this u'tvacho. It's not as if you shech to the animal, since it's not a shechita haru'uya. So ask the Gemara, Amri, bishlam avodah zarah v'shor niskal, shechita she'en ru'yihi. I understand why avodah zarah and shor niskal are a shechita she'en ru'uya, because at the end of the day, this is either a shor niskal or an animal that was shechted by avodah zarah, and that's not something that you can eat. Ela Shabbos, shechita ru'yihi. But if you do a shechita on Shabbos, that is considered a shechita haru'uya. Why is that? The Tanan, we have a Mishnah. This is coming from Ksubis and Chulin. Ashochei b'Shabbos v'yom ha'kippurim, afal pi shemitzchayev v'nafsho, shechitaso k'sheira. That if a person shechs an animal on Shabbos or Yom Kippur, even though you're obligated, shemitzchayev v'nafsho, I guess the question is, how does that fit with Yom Kippur? That you're obligated to die, so presumably that means on Shabbos you're obligated to die, on Yom Kippur you could say you're obligated to kares. Still, the shechita is considered kosher. So how could we say that Shabbos is a shechita she'ina re'uya, and that's why the chachamim are poter, that's why the chachamim exempt you from paying arba b'chamisha, if really it is a kosher shechita, as we see clearly from this Mishnah in Chulin? So answers the Gemara, Amri, savar la k'Rabbi Yochanan hasanlar. The chachamim who say that you're poter in this case from paying arba b'chamisha are assuming like the position of Rabbi Yochanan hasanlar. I'll just cut to the chase for a second, who's essentially going to say that this is not a shechita haru'uya, this is not a shechita that you can eat. We would not say shechita sokshera. How do I know that? Titznan, hamavashel b'Shabbos. We have another Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos, that if a person cooks on Shabbos, b'shogeg ye'achel, b'mezid lo ye'achel divrei Rabbi Meir. That if you cook on Shabbos b'shogeg, you could eat the food, and if you cook b'mezid, you cannot eat the food. So Rashi outlines, there's going to be a three-way machlokas, Rashi outlines what all these terms mean. That according to Rabbi Meir, if you cook b'shogeg on Shabbos, you can eat the food. Rashi says, afilu hu atzmo v'afilu bo bayom. Even you yourself can eat the food, and even on Shabbos. But b'mezid, the food cannot be eaten, and Rashi says, b'mezid lo ya'achil bo bayom b'hu adin la'acherim. If you cook b'mezid on Shabbos, neither you nor anybody else can eat this food on Shabbos. But after Shabbos, both you and everybody else would be able to eat it. There are different implications in Rashi in different places when this sugya comes up, but that's at least how Rashi explains Divrei Rabbi Meir here. Now Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'shogeg ya'achel, b'motzoi Shabbos, b'mezid lo ya'achel olamis. Rabbi Yehuda says, if you cook on Shabbos b'shogeg, then it could be eaten on motzoi Shabbos, and if you cook b'mezid, it cannot be eaten forever. So Rashi says, when Rabbi Yehuda says that if you cook on Shabbos b'shogeg, it could be eaten on motzoi Shabbos, that means, hu be'atzmo l'motzoi Shabbos, that you yourself can eat the food after Shabbos, and kol shekein anybody else, uvo bayom lo hu v'lo achirim. On Shabbos itself, neither you nor anybody else could eat it on Shabbos if you cooked it b'shogeg. And b'meizid lo ya'achel hu olamis, aval acherim ochlim. If you cooked b'meizid according to Rabbi Yehuda on Shabbos, then you would not be able to eat from the food forever. Acherim would be able to eat from the food after Shabbos. And Rabbi Yochanan Hasaner omer b'shogeg ya'achel motzai Shabbos la'acherim b'lo lo. Rabbi Yochanan Hasaner says that if you cook b'shogeg on Shabbos, other people can eat the food after Shabbos, but you cannot. And b'meizid lo ya'achel olamis lo lo v'lo la'achirin. If you cook b'meizid on Shabbos, then nobody can eat the food forever. Neither you nor other people, even after Shabbos. So when we say that when you shecht on Shabbos, it's a shechita she'ena ru'uya, we're assuming like Rabbi Yochanan Hasanbar, that presumably if you shecht it b'meizid, the food would never be able to be eaten by anyone. Thus, it's not a shechita ha'ru'uya, and that's why the Chachamim reported you from paying arba v'chamisha, even though you're not obligated the death penalty, it's because you also were not actually toveach, you didn't actually shecht the animal, since it's not a shechita ha'ru'uya. Ask the Gemara, my time with Rabbi Yochanan Hasanbar, why is it that Rabbi Yochanan Hasanbar is so machmir, he's so stringent when it comes to cooking on Shabbos? That's because, k'dedarsh Rabbi Chiya apitcha debei nasiya, based on the drasha that Rabbi Chiya made at the entrance to the house of the Nasi. And the drasha was as follows, in the following pasuk, u'shmartem et ha-shabbos ki kodesh hi lachem. The Torah tells us that we have to observe Shabbos since it's holy. And we darshan from there that there's a comparison between Shabbos and Kodesh. Ma Kodesh asur ba'achila, af ma'isa Shabbos asurin ba'achila. Just like things which are Kodesh cannot be eaten, so too things which are cooked on Shabbos cannot be eaten. Ima Kodesh asur ba'hana, af ma'isa Shabbos asur ba'hana. Maybe we should say that just like Kodesh is also asur ba'hana, you can't derive benefit from something which is Kodesh. And maybe
Kodesh can't be eaten.
So I assume it could be talking about different things. It could be saying kadshei kadshim, which can only be eaten by kohanim. Right. So then, for other people, though, you would say it couldn't be eaten. Or it could be saying any type of kadshim that are restricted in their ability to eat. Meaning there are some people who can eat them, and there are some people who cannot.
Bilem can eat. Everybody can eat kadshim kalim.
Certain kadshim kalim, but like let's say you have kadshim kalim, which I mean,
like what?
I guess you always have the bilem, but meaning if the bilem have to eat it, then other people cannot eat those kadshim kalim. No, is that not right?
They can't invite people. Bilem can't invite people.
Well, certain korbanos for sure, right? Like a
toda for sure. Yeah. But shlamim, you can't invite people to eat a shlamim.
No, so shlamim, you probably could. What about like an el nazir? I'm not sure. Only the nazir eat it.
But you could say
as long as.
But doesn't the nazir have all those loaves of bread that he has to eat also?
Right. But are those different?
Hard to say that he has korban to eat all of that.
Yeah. So what exactly makodesh aser ba'achila? Not so clear. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Aser b'achila sounds like it's a blanket.
Right. And you're saying there's never any kachim which never can't be eaten by anybody.
Except for the ola.
Right, except for the ola.
Yeah, but it's...
But
it's,
that doesn't seem to be the Gemara saying only ola. Yeah. Yeah. So I would think ma kodesh, kachim kachim probably gives us the easiest understanding because it's also to the most amount of people, meaning only kohanim can eat and nobody else. But yeah, certainly a liberal question, but what exactly does that mean? Ma kodesh aser b'achila. But certainly something which is kodesh has a high level of kedusha. So we can learn from there that just like it would be aser b'achila, so too.
Maybe he doesn't mean the carbon. Maybe when he says kodesh, it means hegdish.
Hegdish, but let's say you have hegdish food.
If you have food that you were magdish, you donated it to something.
Yeah, it could mean that, but that seems to be like a much more tangential example of kodesh. You would think the pashas of kodesh is something like carbon, kachim kachim, kachim kahalim, etc. So just like Kodesh Aser B'Achila, so too Shabbos Aser B'Achila. Ask the Gemara, Ima Kodesh Aser B'Ana, Av Ma'aseh Shabbos Aser B'Ana. Maybe we should say that just like Kodesh is Aser B'Ana, so too Ma'aseh Shabbos should be Aser B'Ana. Tamalomar Lachem Shalachem Yeh. But the Pasuk says, Ki Kodesh Hi Lachem. That teaches us that Shabbos has to be considered Lachem. That you have to be able to derive some benefit from it, so it's not going to be Aser B'Ana. Yachol Afilu B'Shogeg. It could be, and it should even be Aser B'Achila B'Shogeg. Meaning, if you cook something on Shabbos, b'shogeg, it should also be aser b'achila. Talmud lomar mechalelea mos yumas. But the pasuk continues on and says, anyone who desecrates, anyone who violates Shabbos, should be killed. And that means b'mezid amarti lecha below b'shogeg. Clearly, the pasuk is only talking about mezid because we know that only somebody who violates Shabbos b'mezid is going to be put to death. Somebody who violates Shabbos b'shogeg would not. And so that's how Rabbi Yochanan Hasanbar comes to his conclusion that b'mezid lo ya'achel olam is below l'achirim. If you do something on Shabbos, if you cook something on Shabbos, it can't be eaten forever by anybody because it has to be like kodesh. It's going to be aser b'achila, and that's only b'mezid. Now pligi ba rabacha b'ravina. We have the following machlokas marayim between Rav Acha and Ravina. One of them said that Maisa Shabbos is an Isser Daraisa, that which you can't eat things which were cooked on Shabbos would be an Isser Daraisa, and one Shita holds that it's only Darabban. So Man Damar Daraisa Kedamar. The position which says it's an Isser Daraisa is very understandable. We just darshan a bunch of psukim from the Torah, so it's logical that that should be an Isser Daraisa. Uma Damar Darabanan, the one who says that Maisa Shabbos are an Isser Darabanan, would say, I can essentially prove it to you from the pasuk that you just brought me. Because Amar Kra, my Gemara says Kodesh Hu, they changed the Girsa to Kodesh Yi, which makes more sense with the pasuk. But Amar Kra, Kodesh Hu, the pasuk says that Shabbos is Kodesh, and we darshan Hu Kodesh Vein Maisav Kodesh. We understand that Shabbos itself is what is Kodesh, but the actions of Shabbos, meaning something which was cooked or created on Shabbos, would not be considered Kodesh. That means Midor Raisa Maisav Shabbos are not Kodesh. It's only Derabanan that we instituted the status of Maisav Shabbos. It says Gemara Bishlama Lamad Amar Daraisa Amtu Lahachi Patri Rabbanan. According to the position that Maisa Shabbos is Daraisa, it makes sense that the Rabbanan exempted a person from paying Arba V'Chamisha when somebody else shechted the animal, because we said that would be a shechita she'ein re'uya, and would be a shechita which is not kosher, is not considered edible for consumption, since it's an Isser Daraisa. El Lamad Amar Darabanan Amai Patri Rabbanan. But if you assume that Maisa Shabbos is only an Isser Darabanan, then why would the rabbis, why would the Chachamim exempt you from paying Arba V'Chamisha? If really Midoraisa, it would be a Shechita HaRe'uya, it would be considered Utvacha, and you shouldn't have to pay. So answers the Gemara, Ashara, Avodah Zarah, B'Shor HaNiskal. In that Braisa, where the Chachamim said they were poter, you don't have to pay Arba V'Chamisha, that was only referring to the last two cases. It was only referring to a case where you shech the animal Avodah Zarah, or it's a Shor HaNiskal, in which case there would be a bona fide Isser Doraisa, and that's why it would not be considered a Shechita HaRe'uya, that's why you would not be obligated to pay Arba V'Chamisha. But by implication, the Rabbanan actually would say you should pay Arba V'Chamisha in a case where the animal was shechted by somebody else on Shabbos, then it's really a Shechita HaRe'uya and you should have to pay Arba V'Chamisha. So ask the Gemara, the Rabbi Meir, Amai Mechayev Shochi L'Avodah Zarah. Why does Rabbi Meir say that you're obligated to pay Arba V'Chamisha if you shech the animal L'Avodah Zarah? Kevan D'Shacha Bapurta Asra. As soon as you shech the tiny little bit of the animal L'Avodah Zarah, we assume that the animal becomes Avodah Zarah and it would be completely Asr, and idach isure hanahu velo demare katavach. And when you finish the shechita after that little bit, the animal is already going to be an isra hana because it's considered avodah zarah, and it's no longer the bailim's, it's no longer the owner's animal that you're shechting. So how can we consider that utvacho? It's not as if you're shechting somebody else's animal, because as soon as it becomes avodah zarah, it's no longer the owner's. So amarava beomer bigmar zvicha hu ovda. Rava would say that, yeah, the only case in which Rabbi Meir is Machayev when you shecht an animal Avodah Zarah is when you say, I'm only using it for Avodah Zarah worship at the end of the Shechita. That way, there's no time gap between when it becomes Avodah Zarah and when you complete the Shechita and are over Utvacho, and that's why you'd be obligated to pay Arba V'Chamisha at the time that you finish the Shechita. That's when it becomes Aser as Avodah Zarah, and you've already fulfilled the Pasuk of Utvacho, so you'd have to pay Arba V'Chamisha.
So somebody can Aser your object Bahano by worshipping it?
No, it depends by worship. Rashi says here, I saw it, but I'm not sure.
Somebody bows down to my car.
But no, maybe it was Rashi yesterday. Rashi says bowing does not create an Isser Hanah. It's only if you do real avoda. So, but in this case, we're talking about Shechita, so that's what's going to make it out, sir. Where is that Rashi? Definitely had it.
Shtachavo is not considered avoda?
So Ishtachavo would be considered avoda as far as violation of Avodah Zarah,
but it wouldn't. For that.
It's not enough of a right, but it's not enough of a Maisa to make somebody else's object Usser. Because how could that be that I just walk up, I bow down to your object, and all of a sudden it becomes Usser? I'm not seeing where this Rashi was, but I definitely saw Rashi makes that comment and says through Ishtachava it wouldn't become Usser, but through a Maisa of Shechita then it would become Usser. So fine. So that's how Rabbi Meir would deal with the case of Avodah Zarah. The reason you're going to be chayiv is because everything happens at the same time. But now the Gemara has the same type of question by Shor HaNiskal. Shor HaNiskal, Yisurei Hanah Ninu, Lav Demari Katavach. Shor HaNiskal, a shor which is sentenced to being stoned, is considered Asr Bahana already at the time that it was sentenced. And therefore, when you shecht it, it's Lav Demari Katavach. It doesn't belong to the owner because it's completely valueless. So why should he be chayiv to pay Arba V'Chamisha? So Amar Rava, our case where you're chayiv Arba V'Chamisha for shechting a shor haniskal is a very specific case. Hacha b'mayeskiyon, what's the case that we're dealing with? Follow me carefully here. Kegon shemasro l'shomer. The case is where the owner gave this shor, gave this ox to a guardian to watch. V'hizik b'beis shomer, and the shor injured somebody in the house of the shomer. V'huad b'beis shomer, and it became a shor muad in the house of the Shomer. V'nigmar dino bebe Shomer. And he was also sentenced to be stoned in the house of the Shomer. And the Masor Sashas here adds, v'nignav mi be Shomer. And then the animal was stolen from the house of the Shomer. The Rabbi Meir, savar lak Rabbi Yaakov, savar lak Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Meir is assuming two important things, one like Rabbi Yaakov and one like Rabbi Shimon. Savar lak Rabbi Yaakov, the Amar af mishenig mardino, hechziru shomer lebailin mochzar. Rabbi Meir is assuming like Rabbi Yaakov that even after the sentencing of the shor, if a shomer were to return it to the original owner, it would be considered mochzar, it would be considered as if it's returned, and he would no longer have an obligation to the original owner. Mesaver lak Rabbi Shimon de Amar davar hagorim lemamon kemamon dami. And Rabbi Meir is assuming, like Rabbi Shimon, that something which causes a monetary obligation, translating literally, but meaning something which would prevent you from having to pay out of pocket, is considered like mamon. And that's the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. How do we know that? Ditznan, Rabbi Shimon Omer, kachim shechayav ba'achar yusan chayav. Rabbi Shimon holds that if a person has kachim, which they take full responsibility over, they consecrate an animal, and they say that if this animal were to be lost, I would have to replace it. So this Rabbi Shimon is coming from a Mishnah later, which is talking about our case of Ficha u'Mechir. And what's going on? Generally, we would assume if you shecht an animal of Hekdesh, you're not chayiv to pay Arba v'Chamisha, because you're not shechting the owner's animal, you're shechting Hashem's animal of his Hekdesh. But if it's kachim shechayiv v'achrayusan, according to Rabbi Shimon, if the person accepted full responsibility over the animal, then you would have to pay Arba v'Chamisha if you shecht it, even if it's Hekdesh, because it's technically his from the standpoint that if he were to lose it,
he
would have to replace it. And it's a davar hagorim l'mamon. So what's going on in this case, Alma davar hagorim l'mamon k'mamon dami. And from Rabbi Shimon, we see that a davar hagorim l'mamon is k'mamon dami. So what's going on in the case of Rabbi Meir, of Ashura Niskal, is that the entire sentencing of the animal and all the injuries of the animal happened when the animal was in the house of the Shomer. And then you stole the animal from the Shomer and you shechted it. But that animal actually has value according to Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Shimon. Why? Because according to Rabbi Yaakov, even after the sentencing of the animal, if the Shomer were to give it back to the Bailim, it would be muchsar, and he would no longer have any obligation, he would no longer have any financial responsibility to the owner. And that's considered like a davar hagorim l'mamon, because even though he'd be obligated to pay money if he didn't have this animal, if he has this animal, he's completely exempt. So when you steal that animal from him, there actually is a financial obligation involved. And that's how, even though Ashura Niskal is Asr Bahana, it would be considered as if it's Demare Katavach, it's considered as if it's the owners, or in this case, the Shomers, that you stole and shechted, and you have to pay Arba V'Chamisha to him, because it does bear some financial weight, it does have financial value, despite being Ashura Niskal and Asr Bahana, because of these two principles of Davar Agorim Vam Kimam Adami, and Af Mishin Vim Yerdino, Echazir Shom Adabailim Mochsa. Amar Rav Kahana, Amrita L'Shmaite, Kamadir Rav Zvid Min Aharda. Rav Kahana said, I said over this whole Shtikal Torah about all these cases, the Mishnah, Avar Zara, Shor Niskal, etc., in front of Rav Zvid from Narada. And Rav Zvid from Narada seemingly was bothered and said, Mimatzi mok mis masnisen k'rabi meir velo k'rabi shimon? Can you really establish this whole Mishnah, as we've been doing until now, this entire daf, that the Mishnah is like Rabbi Meir and not like Rabbi Shimon? Remember, we started with Gana v'tavach b'yom ha-kippurim, that if you steal the animal and shecht it on Yom Kippur, you're obligated to pay, even though you get malchus for Yom Kippur, because Rabbi Meir holds loka mishalim. And we brought this brisa, which had both Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, which we established as being like Rabbi Shimon. So we established the Mishnah as being like Rabbi Meir and not like Rabbi Shimon. How could that be? V'hakatani seifa, Rabbi Shimon poter b'shnei elu. The Mishnah had mentioned at the end, again, in Daf Ayin Amun Aleph, that Rabbi Shimon is poter in these last two cases, which we said was hashochei v'nim zetreifa, if you shecht the animal and it turns out to be a treifa, or you shecht chulin ba'azara. Rabbi Shimon is only poter in those two cases. Michlal de bekula masnisin moda. That implies that Rabbi Shimon is moda to the entire rest of the Mishnah. So how can the Mishnah be only like Rabbi Meir and not like Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon only was poter, only exempted you from payment in the last two cases of the Mishnah, but seemingly he subscribed to all the other cases in the Mishnah. Amar le lo. So Rav Kahana answers Rav Zvid Min Harda and says, you totally misunderstood. It's not that Rabbi Shimon subscribes to the rest of the Mishnah. Rather, Michlal demode betabach umachar the refua uleklavim. Rather, it just means that Rabbi Shimon agrees to the cases, the first two cases that are mentioned in the last section of the Mishnah. Meaning, the Mishnah had four cases at the end of the Mishnah. It had a case of tabach umachar the refua, if you shecht an animal in order to use the meat for medicinal purposes, or you shecht an animal in order to give the meat over to dogs. And then we also had the cases of Chulin Bahazara and Hashochev and Emtzat Shreifa, and Rabbi Shimon was only poter b'shne'elu, and meant the last two of those four. But it didn't mean the last two and none of the rest of the cases in the Mishnah. So Rabbi Shimon was not trying to subscribe to the rest of the Mishnah, he was only trying to subscribe to the first two of the four cases, not to the last two. But the rest of the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Shimon, and that's why we established the Mishnah, as we just did, as being like Rabbi Meir and not like Rabbi Shimon. Now the Gemara continues on.
So what's the lacha? You steal an animal, and instead of shechting it, you shoot it with a gun. You chayv dal v'hei?
I think not, because it's not his lacha.
It's not his lacha.
So what's the reason? I mean,
why would the Torah koveya that you're only obligated to pay about chamisha if you shech and nothing else? Seemingly killing an animal should be just as consequential.
You could still feed it to the dogs, right.
Yeah. So, meaning the reason you're still obligated when you feed it to the dogs is because you still shechted it. So you're saying, if you didn't shecht it, you killed it, you shot it, but you could still feed it to the dogs, then seemingly you should still be obligated to pay. But obviously not, because the Torah was koveya l'tuacho, that you have to shecht. So the question is, why did the Torah require you to shecht?
You can ask the same question with Mechorah. What if he didn't sell it? What if he gave it as a gift to somebody? Does he pay the Olam B'Hei? Torah said Mechorah, right? He's sort of locked into the Pasuk.
Right. So why the Torah was Koveya Davka, these two things? There are infinitely many things I could have done with this animal, many of which would have been consequential and would have damaged the animal. So why am I only obligated to pay Arba V'Chamisha in these two cases? Not sure. Sort of like a Hashkafas HaTorah question. Tamei HaTorah, why does the Torah Koveya these two things?
Well, Torah, you could say, because, you know, I'm trying to be a religious. I'll only eat kosher meat, right? So the fact that I stole it, you know... Okay.
So now the Gemara goes on to discuss the case in the Mishnah. Let's say a person steals from his father the animal and shechs it or sells it, and then his father died. So the Mishnah had said that you'd be obligated to pay Arba Chamisha, and we foreshadowed to the Mishnah later, which is going to say that if after you stole it, your father died, then you shechted it or sold it, you would not be obligated to pay Arba Chamisha. So ask the Gemara as follows: Bamine Rava Merav Nachman. Rava poses the following question to Rav Nachman. Let's say a person steals a shor, steals an ox that belongs to two partners, and shechs that shor, and then he's moda to one of them that he shechted the animal. So the Gemara is assuming here that arba v'chamisha is a knas, that it's a penalty, and we have a principle that moda v'knas pater, that if one admits to having violated something which would incur a penalty, which would incur a knas, they'd be exempt from making that payment. So the Gemara wants to know, if you're moda to one of the shutfin, if you concede to one of the partners that you shechted the animal, would you still have to pay the other partner? And the Gemara poses the question as follows: Chamisha bakar amar rachmana, velo chamisha chatzai bakar. Do we say that the Torah required you to pay five animals, but not five halves of an animal? So in this case, you're obligated five full animals, you know, five times payment to the two partners, but you admitted to one of the partners, so that exempts you from half of the payment, and now you're not going to be obligated to pay the other half, the 2.5 times, because the Torah never required that you pay 2.5 times. It only required that you pay 5 times or nothing. Or do we say that the Torah required you to pay 5 times, and those 5 times could even be 5 halves, that even if you were obligated to pay 5 times, 2 separate halves to 2 different partners, and you admitted to one of the partners and that exempted you from his payment, you would still be obligated to pay the other partner. So answers the Gemara, Amr Le, Chamisha Bakar, Amr Rachmana, Velo Chamisha Chatzai Bakar. Rav Nachman says, in such a case, you'd be exempt from paying the other partner, because the Torah says you have to pay 5 times, not half of 5 times. So if you admit to one of the partners, you would not be obligated to pay the second partner. Esave asked the Gemara, we have a question on that assumption. Ganav Mishal Aviv, V'tavach U'machar, V'achar Kach Mis Aviv. The case we're dealing with in the Mishnah said that if you stole from your father and you shechted or sold the animal, and then your father dies, you would have to pay Arba B'chamisha. So the Gemara is assuming as follows. In this case, since your father died after you did the Tvicha Mechira, it's as if you got up and were moda to one of the partners, because in this case, you should inherit the money that you would have to pay to your father. So if your father died, that should exempt you from the payment. It should be just like moda b'knas pater, since now you stand to inherit the money that you were supposed to pay to your father. Bekatani mishalim tashlum arba lechamisha. And nonetheless, the Mishnah says that you would have to pay arba lechamisha. So that would seem to indicate that in our case of the shnei shulchan, we shouldn't say chamisha bakar amar rachmana below chamisha chatzai bakar, that you don't have to pay the second partner. Rather, we should say chamisha bakar amar rachmana afilu chamisha chatzai bakar, and you do have to pay the second partner, because it seems to be no different from this case in the Mishnah where your father dies after you incur the responsibility to pay. So amar le hacha b'mayaskinan kigon sha'amad aviv b'din. No, you misunderstood. The case of the Mishnah is a very specific case in which before your father died, he already brought you to court, and the case was finished, and you were already obligated to pay him arba v'chamisha. Only in such a case would you be obligated to pay your father, but if you were not omed b'din, if the case had not yet been adjudicated, which would make it uncomparable to Hoda, then we would assume that you would not have to pay in such a case. It would be the same as the question that was posed. It's as if you admitted to one of the partners that you shechted the animal, and you no longer would have to pay. So then the Gemara asks, well, avalo amad bedin mai einu mashalim? Is that to say that if you had not brought the case to court before your father died, that you would not have to pay at all? Einu mashalim tashlum arba v'chamisha? Ihachi adetani seifa gano mishal aviv umeis v'achar tachtavach umachar einu mashalim tashlum arba v'chamisha? If it's true that if you had not been omen bedin, if you had not adjudicated the case, then you would not be chayv to pay, then when the Seifa, the Mishnah later, which we have not yet gone to, but which we've alluded to, says that if you steal from your father, and your father dies, and only then you shecht it or sell it, you don't have to pay arba v'chamisha, niflog bididei, we should have just taught the more comparable case to the Reisha, that b'med varim amurim kishe amed bedin, when is it true that if your father died, after you did the tficha u'mechira, you have to pay arba v'chamisha? That's only if he adjudicated the case before he died. Avalo amed bedin, eino mashalim tashlum arba v'chamisha. But if he did not adjudicate the case before he died, you would not have to pay arba v'chamisha. That would be a more logical, more parallel, more obvious case than the case the Seifa actually uses, which is a case where he dies before the tficha u'mechira, and the Mishnah tells us that you don't have to pay. So amar leh hachanami. Really, the Mishnah could, the later Mishnah could have taught that case. It could have been niflog benitni bedida, a case where you did the gneva and the tficha u'mechira, but you did not yet adjudicate the case. And Aidi dinasiv reisha ganav mishal aviv v'tavachu macha v'achar kach meis aviv. But since the reisha taught a case where you stole from your father and shechted and sold, and only then your father died, nasiv seifa nami ganav mishal aviv umeis aviv v'achar kach tavachu macha. The seifa also used this case where you stole from your father died, and afterwards you shechted and sold, even though we could have taught a more comparable case. Now let's safra amar le chamisha bakar amar rachmana va'afilu chamisha chatzai bakar. The next morning, Rav Nachman changed his answer to Rava, and he said, "I really hold that chamisha bakar amar rachmana va'afilu chamisha chatzai bakar. Even though the Torah obligates you to pay five times, you could have had to pay five halves as well." V'hai de lo amri lecha beurta de lo achli bisra detur. The reason I didn't give you that answer yesterday evening was because I hadn't eaten the meat of a shor. Unclear exactly what that means. Rashi says it means lo didakti taimo shel davar. I didn't pay careful attention to what the real reason of the halacha is. To me, that seems to be a metaphor. It's not really saying anything about eating, but he's just saying, I wasn't so careful in the halacha, I told you the wrong thing. Tosu says, that he didn't eat the meat of a bull because he was fasting. So that seems to be saying he wasn't thinking so clearly because he actually hadn't eaten. He was fasting. He was hungry. But he changed his answer. He ended up saying that you would have to pay the second partner in a case in which you were moted to the first partner because chamisha bakar am rachmana v'afilu chamisha chatzai bakar. So ask the Gemara, and we'll just conclude with this. V'alamayshna reisha umayshna seifa. Now that it's true that you could even pay chamisha chatzai bakar, then the reisha, which says that if your father dies after the tficha mechira, you would have to pay arba v'chamisha, that can now be a case even where your father didn't adjudicate the case, because you could have to pay even chatzai bakar. So even though your father died after you did the tficha mechira, after you did the shechting or the sale, and you stand to inherit some of the money, still you would have to pay the rest of it. So then in the seifa, the second case, where your father dies before the tficha mechira, why is it that in such a case you're pater and you don't have to pay the brothers, the remaining money? So Amar le Reisha Karina Be Utvacho Kula Be Isura Seifa Lo Karina Be Utvacho Kula Be Isura. The difference between the Reisha and the Seifa is that in the Reisha we consider it as if you shechted the animal Be Isur completely, because your father had not yet died when you shechted it. It was completely his. So you shechted something Be Isur, and that's why you're obligated to pay Arba Chamisha. But in the Seifa, where your father died before the Tficho Mechira, you already stand to inherit some of the animal. You already stand to inherit some of the payment. And when you shech the animal, it's no longer completely somebody else's. It's partially yours, and that's why you're exempt from payment. Okay, shkei chavar shkei.